Okay, so moving on to the selling to your list, whether that is going to be a sales funnel or a one-off sales proposition. The one thing I want you guys to remember when you're trying to craft a sales message is when you're selling to your person, you need to remember this. People respond to emotional persuasion triggers always. So when I say, the psychology of selling is emotional, it absolutely is. So what are the core emotional persuasion triggers? They're basically four things. There's gain, logic, fear, and scarcity. And there's a lot of different motivators and ways that people teach how to sell things, but I have used variations of these for years, and I had never even heard of these like things until I started really digging into the digital marketing side of things about 7, 8 years ago, I suppose, and understanding that they're sequential in some cases and or can be mashed together in some cases too. So, but the point of it is, that they absolutely are the core usually of why people make a decision to purchase. And think about even how you decide on things. If you decide you're going to purchase something, is it because you feel like you're going to get something out of it? Does it make sense? Is it logical in the flow of previous decisions you've made? Things of that nature. So the reason that persuasion, well, let me back up for a second. When it comes to these, what I call persuasion triggers, the best part about this is they can be used anywhere. You don't have to just look at them in the context of, how you leverage them inside of social, I'm sorry, inside of your sales messaging or your email messaging. But you can use them on social. You can use them like, hey, you can put a post on Facebook, for example, and say, limited time only. That's a scarcity trigger. So they're not just leveraged in the context of email campaigns, which is really why I wanted to bring them up. Okay, so going back to thinking about it from the perspective of how you make decisions, do you do it from the perspective of what can you gain? Or do you want to stay in alignment with previous decisions you've made based on, an analytical thought process? I'll give you an example of that in a minute. You always have your analytical buyers, and that's why you hit them at different with different triggers so that different people will respond to different things. A fear of what would happen if you don't take action. That's usually a very powerful motivator. It's called FOMO. We all know it. We all have heard that term. And then, some combination thereof. And scarcity as well. Scarcity is one of those things if there's a limited number and that kind of stuff. When you're thinking about it from a gain perspective, you want to think about when you're crafting your email, and I'm going to give you templates today, two different sets of templates actually, and some examples of things that we've done as well. But what will your reader gain if they click on your link? I mean, that's really the end goal of everything when we're trying to drive traffic, whether it's through an email to a sales page or if it's on social media and we're trying to drive traffic to something specific, sales page or a blog post or anything of that nature. What's in it for them? It has got to be the focus point, focal point. And that's very, very important when it comes to a sales email. What's in it for them if they click and they go look at your sales page? So your email copy should make a promise that when they click on the link in the email that they're going to get whatever that specific gain is, okay? People do buy for emotional reasons, but they often justify the purchase with logic. So if it's, again, this is for your analytical buyers. Let's take a look at what triggers an analytical buyer. Sometimes it's stats, case studies, comparisons, expert opinions. I would say testimonials are another thing that would encourage people to actually click and go to your sales page. Sometimes those things can be reiterated and repositioned even on a sales page. Like testimonials, for example, can be featured also on your sales page, but they can also be used as triggers, if you will, to get people to actually, you know, go check it out. I call them no-brainer offers are logical to a buyer, you know. So let's say here's an example of one, you know, here's an event that's normally $600 and, you know, they can get in for $1, that kind of thing. That's a no-brainer offer. And it makes sense to somebody. They're like, if they're logical, they're thinking to themselves, well, it's $1. It's no, you know, there's other examples that might not be so dramatic, meaning, okay, here's something that's valued at $600 and you're only going to have to pay $1 for it. But it usually fits into the concept of, you know, how somebody's brain works. Some people's logic is they're really driven by logic, you know, numbers matter to them. Rhonda is analytical as an example. She's very numbers focused. Me, I'm more attracted to probably what I'm going to gain. I'm probably that person that's going to look at it and say, Ooh, I can have that. Rhonda would want more stats. You know, she would want the numbers to back up the decision before she would make a decision on it. So every buyer probably has different triggers. And I would even argue that sometimes those triggers can be different, even though somebody might think they're an analytical buyer, depending on how you position things, it could, you know, they could buy something on a gain email one time, and then they might buy something on a logic email the next time. Fear or FOMO is another motivator when it comes to leveraging the power of positioning your offers. So here's an example from Canva. You know, in the design world, staying ahead of the curve is no easy task. What's considered cutting edge one day could be outdated the next. So it's crucial to keep an eye on the new trends as they're emerging, essentially. So they're basically saying, if you don't, you know, keep your finger on the pulse of the design world, then you're just going to miss out. So you need to, you know, become a trendsetter right now. You know, they're driving, all their words is driving people to the one place that they want them to key in on, which is that blue button, become a trendsetter, right? And that's just, again, this is something on their website, but the concept of this is exactly what I shared before, is you can use these triggers in any context. They don't always have to be incorporated inside of a sales message. But obviously for the purpose of today's training, we're talking about sales messages. But like, I also want you to understand that they have much bigger implications than just a sales message. So let's talk about scarcity. I think scarcity is probably one of the most powerful of the four. If people think they get if they think they can get your offer anytime, they're going to put it off, perhaps never pull the trigger, or think that they can just do it later, you know, that kind of thing. But when someone tells you that resources are limited, or you can't have something, or, you know, you're going to lose your chance to get something you really want if you don't take a specific action in the next amount of time, you know, well, I don't know about you guys, but that just makes my back go up. And I'm like, yeah, no, give it to me already. You know, we're clamoring for it at that point because they've said we can have it if we don't take action now. So I think that scarcity factor is something that is really, really works. In fact, most of the time when we do the scarcity play, which we do almost every time, most of our sales come on that last day where people are getting to a place where, you know, oh, well, you know, we're about to be taken away from me. I'm not going to have it not going to have this offer much longer. So I want to give you a couple of like kind of phrases or positioning that you could use for, you know, scarcity. Like time scarcity is one thing. And then there's like the number scarcity. I labeled it stock, but it could be, you know, it's the number, you know, how many do you have, or, you know, positioning it like that. So for example, with time, you know, the deal is going to end today. or there's only 12 hours left, or prices is going to go up in a day or three or whatever. You know, you could actually, prices is going to go up in 3 days, price is going to go up in 2 days, price is going to go up day last day, you know, kind of thing. So you could message this over a period of time if you wanted to. Today only offers, or like I say, offer expires today. And then when it comes to a number, positioning it like that from that perspective, like if you only want to do, you know, 5 or 10 or 50, depending on what the number is, free coaching calls, then, you know, you got to come on, people, you got to get in there if you want one of these spots. Or, you know, nearly sold out, that denotes a number, you know, there's only so many there and we're nearly sold out. Limited edition, only available to members. You know, get them while they last. So those are all like, you know, ways to position two different perspectives on how you want to position your offer, whether it's free, not in this particular case, this is a sale. So we're positioning an offer for sale. So again, depending on your business and your niche, if it's product-based, it'd probably be more of a stocks, scarcity, strategy, or, you know, time-based if you're selling a course, et cetera. I mean, it could be either, I think, if you're selling a course, but I think it makes more sense from a time perspective. Usually that's honestly the one we use most, versus the stock scarcity. All right. And then one thing that is golden, it's a visual, and I think it's why it works so well, is the countdown timer. Now, a countdown timer can go on your sales page. It can go in an email. You know, there's lots of different ways that you can leverage it. I personally love the ones that are in my, you know, when I get an offer and there's a countdown timer in my email, because sometimes I don't open my emails up in a timely manner. I know, right? So if I get an email and there's a countdown timer and it says, you know, the offer's over, then I know not to go click, right? I don't even bother to click because I know I'm not going to get the special deal. You know, my bad, because I should have opened my email sooner. But the point of it is that, you know, it helps me to not waste, you know, my time clicking on something that I can't have anymore. But I think for those who do open their email, it is a way to, hey, I need to take this, I need to wake up and smell the coffee. If I'm interested in this, I have a very limited amount of time. I've also seen, you know, timers used in context of, you know, obviously on sales pages, or anytime you have even offer bumps, sometimes you can put, you know, those limited time. It's only, you know, this is only offer is only good for the next 14 minutes and 12 seconds, or, you know, whatever. The point of it is the countdown timers absolutely do work. And I'm going to pull up this script that I have for you guys today, a couple of these scripts, and explain them to you. So I did two things. One, setting this up in the context of if somebody opts into your freebie, let me back up. If you have a sales funnel created already, then, you know, you may offer somebody up a freebie and then they go straight, they automatically get an offer to your free thing. I mean, to your paid offer. You could position your paid offer inside of your freebie, like I suggested to you as well. And if you don't have a sales funnel built, so I'm creating a couple of different scenarios for you here. If your sales funnel is not built yet, don't stress, because like I say, you could incorporate your mini offer inside of your freebie if you wanted to, which I do recommend. I do that with mine, even if I have a sales funnel, because you never know when people are going to open that or circle back to it at a later point in time. And so I want to, you know, attract them to my mini offer. That's my next thing. But let's say, for example, you have that, you know, somebody opts into your freebie, you do present them either via a sales funnel or inside of your freebie, your mini offer, or your whatever your next offer is, and they don't take you up on it. So this series will help you if that's those two scenarios, whichever one it is, whichever, you know, whether you have a sales funnel or you're doing the upsell inside of your freebie, but they don't take you up on it. So here is a series of emails. They're the Gain Logic Fear, and they're these emails are designed specifically for people who do not purchase your mini offer or your initial paid offer. Let me put it that way. And so there's the email one, and I gave you a couple of subject lines. Now, I have used the structure of these same emails over and over and over again. They're not sexy. They're not like super wordy. They're not like, but they work. Now, you will definitely have to probably come in here and, well, not probably, definitely come in and, tone it in, say it in your tone, but filling in the blank. It's really that easy, is coming back in and, you know, filling it in and seeing if, and then setting it up inside of ActiveCampaign or wherever your email service provider is, and then starting the sequence to, you know, really connect with the people that haven't said yes to your mini offer or your next offer, your next paid offer. And there's three different emails here. And with a timeline based off of, you know, like this one, again, it depends on how you are doing this. You know, you could set this up a day one, day three, whatever day it is after initial opt-in, but just time out your emails based off of when you decide to start the first email, if that's making sense. So if it's 5 days after, then obviously then this would be 6 days after, et cetera, you know, time, adjust the timelines is what I'm saying. But there's three different emails, very simple, copy, but these do work because like I say, I've used them over and over again. Now, the next thing that option that I have for you is a series that's designed for a direct sales campaign. That means if you are selling something, maybe it's something higher priced, you know, whatever it is, there's again the same series. It's a Gain email one, there's Logic email two for, you know, those people who are analytical, and email three is Fear. And then let's see, we'll keep going down. Providing proof. Some people like, especially if you're selling something that's a lot, I inserted this one because there are other things you can insert into this sequence if you wanted to, but I inserted a providing proof because I think a lot of people want, they want to see is other people getting results with whatever you're promising them. So there's a proof email in here, and then there's a scarcity email. So there's five emails in this sequence. And it really is as simple as coming in here and rewording these to suit what you're selling. But I think these will really help you guys shorten the process. We also pulled together, I think, a few of our examples of our copy. Now, obviously, we didn't pull out like where would the places where you would insert, but just seeing how we position things might be super helpful for you as well. We're going to make sure we give those to you as well. So let me pull this up, and I'm going to, today's training was really more about positioning the four things and how you leverage them. And why they're important, because like I say, every buyer ever always operates off of psychological triggers, most emotional triggers. That's why you probably heard it. That's why stories are so powerful, because stories connect people to, you know, an emotional response. Okay. So I'm just going to go and look for questions. So ask, these emails are mixed in with the nurture emails. Normally I would say no. So let's just paint a scenario, Marbeth. This is a really great question, by the way. So let me take a sip. Okay. So, I'm going to make an assumption that somebody opts in and, they get your welcome email, they get your, whatever your freebie is, they get your welcome email day one. Day two, and maybe even your first nurture sequence day one, depending on how you have it set up. And then over the course of the next say 3 to 4 days, again, depending on how you set it up, that's going to run your nurture sequence, right? So that's one scenario. And then the next, I mean, meaning that you could definitely set that up. That's, you definitely want to do that. The next step is making the decision. Do you automatically send an email to somebody who hasn't opted in, I mean, hasn't bought something from you? And the short answer to that is, how is your sale set up? So if your sale is set up and it's automated, meaning somebody opts in and they immediately get, they buy, they get the thank you page, and then you're immediately selling them into the next thing. Then there's application for following up with them immediately because you've already presented it to them, right? If this second scenario is where you've embedded your freebie inside, I mean, I'm sorry, your mini offer or your paid offer inside of your freebie, you have to give them a window of time to consume the content and make a decision. So I would say in that scenario, you definitely don't want to send them an email right away, right? So it goes back to, it depends, the short answer is it depends on how you're presenting and positioning your next, your paid offer. If they see it right away and they don't make a decision, then it would make sense to send them the email sequence at the top of this email series that I just shared with you. But if not, then I would position these after your welcome, I mean, your nurture sequence has completed. Great question. And yes, they'll all be put in the units, and then they'll also be in your membership area too, guys. And is the email template in with the other templates? It's in with today's. It'll be in the unit section for today. And it'll also be in your membership area under today's training. So Paula's saying, where do you grab the countdown timer widget thing? Okay. So, I wished I had Rhonda on here because she does this. So trying to think, cause it's different. The short answer is it's different for different things. So if you have a ThriveCard account, there's a countdown timer that you can incorporate, there's one built into that tool, right? So if you're using it on your sales page, then you can use it there, but there's a, I want to call it old timer or something. Hang on. Let me see if Rhonda, do you know what we use off the top of your head? Or I know the team does it actually. What we use for, okay, thank you. Okay, good. I was like, I know we use this, we do it, but the team does it. So I want to, yeah, good. I'm glad you have it. Yeah, you got the answer. That's all that matters. And then Vicky's saying, do these email series go out as text without any sort of design on the page? No photos, no graphic header. That goes back to yesterday's three scenarios, Vicky. You get to decide. You get to decide, do you want it just to be text? Do you want it to be text with, an image or two in it? Do you want it to be template based with, you know, a header? It's totally up to you. The only thing I would suggest is consistency. If you decide you're going to do like the whole shebang, a template and a header and all of that, then keep it consistent throughout the series. But there's no right answer to that other than personal choice. Now some will say, text, straight up text outperforms, but I think it depends on your community and your audience and how you condition them to consume your content too. You know, when I first started, I started with the visuals and I got a lot of positive feedback from that. You know, people appreciated it. Of course, that was a long time ago when they were so used to seeing, you know, just straight up text that was unique and unusual. I don't know if, you know, it really matters as much now as it did then. But obviously, straight up text is easier. You know, you don't have to worry about inserting the imagery. You don't have to worry about creating new, you know, a banner for your email. But again, it just depends on how you want to do it. Oh, good. Thank you, Kim, for popping that in. Yeah, emailtimers.com. Oh, good question, Maria. So I think we should have one more Zoom. Is everybody good good with trying to put together one. And quickly just let me know, would Tuesday or Wednesday evening be better for you guys? Obviously, you know, it's probably too short a notice to do it tonight. So let's try to just pop in what would be best for you. I think I could do either Tuesday or Wednesday off the top of my head anyway. So yeah, just let me know what your all's thoughts are on that. And I let's try to do one more, because I think that is a great way to, like, you know, make sure everybody's questions have been answered and that kind of stuff. Just have that final connection point. But honestly, this isn't a finale. I mean, we're just, you know, we'll stay connected. I feel like the journey that a lot of us have been on together has been, it's been awesome. And I'm excited to be a part of your journey. And hopefully whatever the next thing is in your learning path, hopefully I can be a part of it. But we'll definitely stay connected. So this is not goodbye. We'll do 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, depending on how I'm looking, where everybody is at. Okay, most people are saying either. All right, well, we'll put it together. We'll get it together, and we'll do one last Zoom. Well, you know what I mean. One Zoom, one last Zoom for the list building course anyway. And I would love it. Like, you know, one of the things I haven't seen so much of yet, is, you know, where are you guys at with your process? Like, do you have you got your freebie designed? Let's just even back up from there. Have you decided what your freebie is? Have you named it? You know, have you got it designed? Do you have your landing page done? You know, feel free to ask, pick our brains, guys, and leverage the power of the group across the board to get feedback. Now, Lori, I know you've popped yours in. I'll definitely give you feedback today. Rhonda actually did a little bit of research for you on that. So I'll make sure that I get you some feedback, on your landing page. So I'm just going to make a command decision. Hopefully this will be good. I see most people are saying, you know, either or Wednesday. So let's just say Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That should probably, work. I think that'll be good. That'll suit most, I think. And Stu, can we show you the landing page? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I'll give you feedback. One of the things, honestly, this is the personalized feedback is, I would argue, one of the most valuable resources you have at your fingertips, guys. So please use it. I mean, I've literally charged people thousands of dollars to review their websites and their landing pages, and give them feedback. You know, I mean, major brands, I have done a deep dive into their, you know, into their websites or their landing pages and given them feedback and charged them a lot of money to do so. So yes, this is a resource. Use it. Pop in your landing pages. Happy to give you feedback on stuff like that. And the reality of it is, even if you have the best freebie in the world, you know, sometimes it's small things. You know, it could be, you know, your landing page button color. I mean, seriously, I've seen that happen. I've seen people change the button color on their landing page, and it just, you know, it doubled their conversion rates. So it could be any number of things. And sometimes you're so close to it, you can't see things. So if you need feedback, definitely pop that stuff in here. Well, into the group. Yeah, and that's the next thing. Where are you guys with your setting up your email sequences? Do you have your nurture sequences done? Where are you finding yourself hung up? Because we can use now and this coming Sunday, to use this time to try to untangle those things. So let us know where you're hung up at, where you are in your, you know, in the flow. Ask for feedback on whatever you need. You know, that's what the group is for. And one of the things I would suggest, why don't we do this? This might be a better way of handling the feedback if you guys are open to it, because I feel like that everybody learns so much from the live feedback. Even though it might not be yours, you still will learn from it. So if you guys are open for it, why don't we just do that on Wednesday's call? Bring your landing pages or your free offers, whatever you would like some feedback on, you know, just like we did with Danette the other night. You know, we dug into her offer and, you know, helped her refine that. Because I think she was kind of on the wrong track in order to get people to purchase her offer. So bring that stuff to Wednesday, to the Zoom call on Wednesday, and let's review it together. I think that would be beneficial for everybody. All right, guys. Well, I know it's been a little shorter today, but like I say, I feel like there's still a lot of stuff that you guys are probably working the pieces and parts. If you're caught up to this point, then you can probably go ahead and take a look at today's templates, start to personalize them for your business. At least at a minimum, get them into your service provider, because you can pull them out and use them, you know, later too. It's not that you have to immediately send out a sales pitch, you know, you can always circle back to it. But if you go ahead and put them in, they'll be there. And then you can just, you know, pull them up whenever you're ready to use them. All right. Well, Vicki's saying, I love when you give live feedback back. Yes. Like I say, I really feel like that's a huge value, and people do learn, you know, hot seats are, for lack of a better way of saying it, are so beneficial for everybody, because sometimes you don't even know you have a similar situation or a similar question until, you know, you're like, oh yeah, I needed that. So Lisa says, so should we drop anything we are working on into the units that they go with if we want feedback on them? That's a good question. Yeah, that'd probably work. I'm just trying to think fast forward a little bit. One suggestion I would have is use the hashtag ask, so because that's the way I track questions in the group. So if you want feedback, just put hashtag ask, and that way it'll draw my eye to it. I actually set up a little filter in the group, and it helps me make sure I don't miss anything. Okay. So Wednesday, it would be this coming Wednesday, Susie, the 22nd. Good question. All right, guys and gals. Well, have a great rest of your day. And like I say, we'll be in the group until through Sunday. So and we'll meet again on Wednesday. So we'll still have a touch point there. Use the group, ask questions, all that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to giving you guys some more personalized feedback on Wednesday. Don't miss it if at all possible. But even if you do miss it, obviously we will record it. You'll have access to it at a later point in time, because like I say, you can always learn from other stuff too. Yes, by the way, Agora Pulse is fab. Yes, it is. I am a huge, huge fan of Agora Pulse. I'm so much of a fan that I'm actually an ambassador for them. So it saves me so much time every day. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. Stay safe. We'll still, like I say, see you on Wednesday. Until then, take care. God bless.